Unity.com.
Every so often, someone puts out a song that kind of reminds us that life is pretty short. And we need to make the most of our lives, right? Like you just heard in that short collage of songs, it comes from all different angles. Rock artist, country artist, Christian artist, secular artist. Every so often, we're reminded of that in a song that someone releases. A few of us this last Friday went to see one of my favorite groups, Remedy Drive, at the Cup of Joy. It was a lot of fun, but you could just hear this theme over and over that kind of came through, and it was just that, look, we have one life to live, and what are we going to spend it on? You know, so there's lots of reminders of that. This morning, we're looking at a passage in Acts 6 and 7. It's the story of Stephen, who's really considered to be the first martyr in the New Testament. And he wasn't afraid to give his life for the cause of Christ. He was intimidated by death, if you will. Because of that, he made sure that his life mattered. Right? So we're going to work through the text and the story of Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and 7. It's page 914 in the Bibles here. And yet, even though he was the first martyr and this passage talks about his death, it's not really his death that we're going to be focused in on this morning. Okay? It's his life that I believe we can learn from. So Acts chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. We're not going to do both chapters fully, but it'll cover the story. So if you want to follow along, feel free. Starting in verse 1. Now, in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists, which are just the Greek-speaking Jews, the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, they chose a few others as well, but one of them was Stephen. Now, Stephen was chosen for this specific task that they had from among the followers of Jesus. Why was he chosen? Well, the text clues us into a few things. First of all, Stephen was a man with a good reputation. Right? And the word here actually means like to give witness to someone. Like to give a testimony about. In other words, people spoke well of Stephen, and specifically, they spoke well of him as a follower of Jesus. It also says he was full of the Spirit. In other words, he was someone with whom it was obvious that God was working in and through. It says he was full of wisdom. Like when it came to spiritual things and life issues, he saw things clearly as God would have him. So he was someone who knew how to walk in the ways of God. Verse 5, which we just didn't get to, it pleased the whole gathering that they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So it's the second time it mentions the Spirit, but he was full of faith. Meaning he was not just someone who just believed in Jesus. Yes, I believe in Jesus, but he was someone who demonstrated how much he believed in Jesus by living it out, by living out his life. Okay, so he's got a good reputation. He's full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, full of faith. That was Stephen's resume, right, for the qualifications of this task. Now, it sounds like when I hear those, I'm thinking, okay, well, so maybe he was going to be like, you know, a small group discipleship leader, maybe head up the prayer ministry, maybe be a teacher, something like that. But his task, his duty, was to serve tables. He was a table worker. Now, how many of us, in the inner workings of our heart, would probably feel like perhaps we were a bit overqualified for that job? having those qualifications. Probably most of us, to a certain degree. I know I would. Maybe that says something about your pastor. But but I would, right? Talk about having to kind of swallow your spiritual pride. I grew up in a fairly traditional denomination that had like confirmation class and the whole works. And when I was in high school, I was part of a team that went out speaking to other youth groups, other confirmation classes, speaking about faith and life and sexuality and self-image and things like that. I did this at least 4 or 5 hours a week, sometimes more. Every Wednesday, we'd go out to a different youth group and have a chance to do that, and it was great. I loved doing it. But as part of the confirmation class, I had to put in service hours. Apparently, none of that work, that good work that I was doing, volunteering 4 or 5 hours a week to go out to these different youth groups and speak, none of that counted. It didn't meet the criteria. So I had to sign up for a couple of hours over the course of the year to sit at a table and serve punch and coffee after church. And that counted. That met the criteria. Now, as a young person, I was incredibly frustrated. There's no lingering, feelings or emotions about this at all. just as a young person, I was frustrated with that. Right? Like, I felt as though I were already doing something that was way important, but that didn't matter to these directors of this program. It didn't meet their criteria. So when I read this story about a guy like Stephen who's, you know, full of faith, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit, good reputation, and he gets chosen to be a table worker, it kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit. And yet, as I was thinking about that this week, I thought, here's something that kind of hit me, and this is the first point in your notes. There are no insignificant roles in the kingdom. Right? There are no insignificant roles in the kingdom. You know, in my own heart, maybe I might not value that table worker role all that much. But that didn't matter to Stephen. Right? There were no insignificant roles in the kingdom of heaven. He was this amazing man of God, but doing this task was not beneath him. Like, he served the kingdom of God in a significant way as a table worker. Now, the apostles, they needed to commit themselves to preaching and teaching the word of God. They needed to devote themselves to prayer. It was what God was calling them to do. They didn't have time to hand out the food, too. And on top of that, apparently, they weren't doing that good a job at it. Verses 1 and 2 says that the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of these things. That's why this whole story starts in the first place. So they picked Stephen and a handful of others who were, you know, devoted followers of Jesus for this task. And then here's what it says in verse 7. This might seem like a little detail just thrown in there, but it's supposed to relate to this story. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and the great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So now think about this, because Stephen was doing his job, and it allowed the apostles to do their job, and there was great growth in the early church, because everybody was doing what they were called to do. And God was able to work incredibly through them all. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, Stephen, the table worker, right? Just the simple table worker, God is using to do great things. He was making this huge impact. And it wasn't just because he was passing out punch and coffee, really, and doing that well. He was busy doing the work God called him to do, but also he was seeking these opportunities to share Jesus with those around him. So full of grace and power, he was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, we're going to pause there in the text for a minute, and I'm thinking about Stephen and the description of who he is and what he's doing. First of all, he had great character, but there are three things that Stephen was doing here that I want to bring to our attention. And the first thing is this, that Stephen worked with his hands. All right? Stephen worked with his hands. He literally used his hands to pass out food to people. That was his task in the kingdom. The second thing about what he was doing was that he served the believers. Okay, he served the believers. He made sure that the followers of Jesus were being well cared for, which is a pretty cool thing. And then the third thing is he reached out to others. He wasn't only engaged in the work inside the church, he was impacting people outside of it too. And we can tell because that's when the trouble came for him. All right, so verse 9. We'll pick up the text. Verse 9. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And the high priest said, "Are these things so?" Now at this point, Stephen is clearly under fire. And he gives this long, detailed recap of the history of their forefathers, right? Who so often rejected and ignored the leaders and the prophets and the priests and the kings of Israel that were put in place, that God had sent as messengers from the Lord. Their forefathers had constantly ignored them, constantly rejected them. And then after he goes on this long description, we're going to skip, actually flip the page if it's in the text here, to verse 51. He says this, he kind of ends with this little zinger. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now obviously when they heard these things, they were pretty enraged, right? And they stoned Stephen to death. Now here's the thing. Everything that Stephen just said to them was completely accurate. It was all true. They just didn't like what he was saying to them, so they killed him. Now, we don't know exactly how long he served the people in these different ways, but he definitely was unintimidated by death. He was not scared of death. Now, here's our reality, that every one of us is someday going to die, right? We know that. I mean, we may not like to think about it. I know I don't. But unless God decides to bring this world to an end, the mortality rate among us here today is pretty much 100%, right? That's going to be the case. Now, we may have any number of reactions when we think about death, right? Like maybe we just push death out of our minds. Like we try to ignore that. We try not to think about that. Maybe we live with a fear of death. Or maybe it's not death itself that we fear, but the process of dying. Like, that's fearful. And yet, here's something that I think we learn from Stephen's story. And this is kind of our big picture point for today. It's this: don't be worried about facing your death. Be worried about wasting your life. Okay? Don't be worried about facing your death. Be worried about facing your life. Say that again. The right way. Don't worry about facing your death. Worry about wasting your life. Now, here's a few verses that bring this up. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Right? As followers of Jesus, we have only so much time to impact people around us with the hope and the truth and love of Jesus. So it's important that we do what we can, as best we can, as often as we can, right? With every breath we have left, we want to serve the living God. Don't be worried about facing your death. Worry about wasting your life. Here's another verse, John 9:4. Jesus' words himself. He said, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work." In other words, look, don't be worried about facing your death. Worry about wasting your life. Hebrews 4:10. "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his." Right? One day we'll all rest. We'll work no more. We'll be in heaven with Jesus. There are two things, you've heard this said probably, there are two things that we won't be able to do in heaven for sure. One thing is sin, and the other thing is share Jesus. Right? At that point, those things are done. We'll be done with both of them. Only one of them is something we should be striving to do more of now. And then, of course, that's not sin. Let's not mistake that. That's the one we're supposed to avoid. But sharing Jesus, that's something we can do still now. Let the reality of our inevitable death be something that motivates us, that pushes us on to do as much as we can for the cause of Christ with the time we have left. So don't worry about facing your death. Be worried about wasting your life. Now, how can we do that practically? How can we live like Stephen did and make sure we aren't wasting our life? Well, there are three ways. Now, as I talk with you about these three ways this morning, it's somewhat personal, but it's somewhat church-related. It's us as a church when I'm talking about these couple of areas. So we can make sure that we're not wasting our life in these three areas that Stephen did. First of all, we can work with our hands like he did. Stephen worked with his hands. Stephen literally used his hands to pass out food. That's how he served. So how are you serving? Right? In what ways are you serving the Lord? Are you contributing to serving in some way? If so, that's great. You know, and if not, maybe that's a step of faith that you need to take, some way to get involved. Like, even if you feel like maybe it's just an insignificant task, remember, there's no insignificant roles in the kingdom of heaven. All right? Now, in the work that we do here at Portico, we always have needs of things that require working with our hands. We have tasks going on all the time here at Portico, especially because we got this beautiful old building that seems to keep falling apart on us. It's a blessing and a work that we have to do, kind of like the Garden of Eden. All right, so like all this fruit, gotta pull the weeds. Okay, so that's what we have opportunities to do that. Now, sometimes maybe the task you're doing or serving in involve more people-oriented things. Maybe you're helping with kids' church or with the youth group or in the men's or women's connection groups in some way. But there are just tasks, things that we need to do with our hands, like cleaning and maintenance and repairs and things like that. Now, we always seem to need help with that. Now, over the last few weeks, you've heard about one very practical way that we can be involved in this. And a lot of you have signed up already. And afterwards, we'll keep the sign-up slip out one more time. But we're going into a season where we are taking on some tasks here. Because of the generosity of all of you who gave last year, we're in a position, a situation, where we can take care of some much-needed carpeting repairs here. And we're about to start that project, okay? We're doing some painting in the cafe, putting down some flooring in there, carpeting here, carpeting in the entryway. It's not like we're just hiring this out. We're buying the supplies and we're doing this ourselves. So it's not going to happen magically. It's if we just bring the supplies here and set them in a room, they're going to sit there for a long time, right? We need to put our hands to the task. So we have to put in the work. So if you are looking for a way to do that, if you haven't signed up yet, and just know that that's going to be kind of an emphasis of ours here for the next probably couple of months of trying to accomplish these tasks, here's a way that you can work with your hands. You can get involved and work with your hands like Stephen did. Now, there's a second thing that Stephen did. He served the believers, right? He served the believers. We talked about that. There are a lot of ways that you can do that here too. But if you think about what Stephen did on a deeper level by serving tables, his role as a table worker was a pretty big deal. Part of his task was to make sure that the needs of the followers of Jesus, especially the needs of those who are a bit less fortunate, were being met. Right? That was important. It was a priority in the early church. They put people in charge of that specifically to meet the needs of those who, well, were needy. They wanted to be sure that people weren't being forgotten or neglected. Now, over the last probably year or so, myself, Dave Chapin, a few others have been talking about beginning a sort of benevolence-based ministry for within our own community here at Portico to be able to help meet some needs when they occur. Maybe somebody in an emergency situation, somebody in a crisis situation. Now, generally, I will say that I've seen many of you as individuals step into that when you've seen somebody and you know that they're in need and you've just gone ahead and helped in some way, and that's awesome, and we want to continue to do that. But we also want to make sort of an official opportunity for people to ask for help if there's a need. So we're going to be looking to launch a group that does this kind of benevolence work and can provide some funds if needed or some help if needed to people within our community when that situation arises. Now, we need help with this in two ways. The first way is if you are passionate about something like this. Like if you're somebody who's pretty good at managing money and being able to help some people who might be in need, and you have a pretty good gift of discernment, and you can say, well, here's a good way to help. And if, there's a fine line in everything between just helping someone out because there's a need and just enabling them to continue and knowing how to navigate that can be tricky. But if you feel like that's something you might be gifted in, perhaps you want to serve on a team that will help sort those things out, that will really, develop a plan and determine the need and then be able to distribute the funds that we have wisely. So we're looking for a few people to join the effort in that way. But everyone can be involved in this, and so here's something that we're launching this morning. Now, hopefully, you did not open your bags as per instructed in the bulletin and when these were passed out. But maybe you remember a few months ago. It's okay if you did. You'll be fine. The surprise is over, that's all. So a number of months ago, we did an effort called Bottles for Bella to help those in the community who were, parents who were pregnant, and to help the ministry that funds that. We would like to do something similar to that here. As a church, we're setting some money aside to put towards this benevolence-based fund, but we'd also like to give everyone here the opportunity to contribute to that in a way that would provide even more to be able to do it. So there's a little sheet in here, talks about it. You can pop it out, see how tricky that is. All right, and so this was Dave's idea, actually, this name, and I just like ran with it, so all credit to Dave. Portico Purse, the Portico Purse. A purse being a small bag or pouch of money, a sum of money collected as a gift, right? So we want to give you the opportunity over the next couple of weeks to think about, to pray about, setting some funds aside above and beyond what you've been giving already to this cause, that we would be able to provide something substantial for when the need and the crisis arises within our community here. Okay, so simply we're going to ask you each to take one home to pray about it. Maybe you want to collect some coins and that sort of thing. Maybe you'd like to throw in some paper cash. Maybe you want to write out a check. You know, pray about it. Just ask God what he might have you do to contribute towards this. And that will be the funds that we are able to use to help support this effort. Okay, so that's what these are for this morning. It's a very practical way that we can serve the believers, us, the community, together. Okay, so that's what this is all about. Take that home, please pray about it, and we'll collect things over the next few weeks as you come back. Okay, now, here's the third thing. We can reach out to others. Right, that was the third part of what Stephen was about, reaching out to others. We can do that as well. Stephen wasn't killed because of his great character. He wasn't killed because he worked with his hands and served food at the tables. He wasn't killed because he was serving the other believers. He was killed because he dared speak the truth about Jesus to those who didn't know him and even those who didn't believe him. Okay? Now, the two things I just mentioned, those are very internal, right? That's us as a church. That's us as a community. Working with our hands, taking care of carpeting and maintenance and that sort of thing, we've got to take care of that. We've got to do that. We've got to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. But doing those things aren't just geared to make this a nice, cozy place for us. We want this to be a place that's warm and inviting when people walk through the door. And while a building can't do that on its own, it's going to take the people, right? It's something that we need to do. Our church can't just be about the building, though, of course. And our church can't just be about ourselves, right? We want to help one another with our needs when the need arises. Because even if someone who walks through the door doesn't have a need, they see us caring for one another and loving one another and want to be a part of that. Okay? What did Jesus say? They'll know we're Christians by our love for one another. Okay? So, but our church can't just be about ourselves. It isn't about the building. It isn't about the us. Our church has got to be about sharing Jesus with those who don't know him. Ultimately, we need to be reaching out to others with the hope of Jesus. We need to engage people in spiritual conversations. We need to be extending invitations to them to follow Jesus, or maybe just to come to church with us, or to some event that we're putting on where they might experience the God that we know and the God that we love. Right? So it can't just be about us. What will make a difference in the lives of others is us reaching out to them. So those are three very practical ways for us as a church that we can focus in on being like Stephen, on working with our hands, on serving the believers, but also reaching out to others. And while it might be intimidating at times, again, let's let the reality of our inevitable and impending death be a motivation for us to do more for Christ with the time we have left. Let's not be worried about facing our death. Let's be worried about wasting our life. Let's not do that, okay? Let's close in prayer, and the worship team wants to come back up. We'll have one more song this morning. Lord God, we're grateful for your word that gives us this incredible story of a man who was intimidated by death. He did not let his death or the potential of that stop him from completely serving you, from working with his hands, from serving the other believers, and from reaching out to others who didn't know you. We pray that that would be a model for us. And we pray that in each one of these areas that we would that you would put on our hearts how we need to take steps of faith, whether it's to be involved in serving with our hands in some way, and how we're to do that, whether it's committing to you some finances to help others in our community when a need arises. We pray that you would put on our hearts this week what you might be calling us to. Or whether it's a conversation we need to have, an invitation we need to extend. We know these are not always the easiest things to do. And it can also be so easy to hear this, to agree with it, to take it to heart, and to walk out the door, and then we just kind of forget about it. We put it on the back burner, and it disappears from our thoughts, from our heart. Pray you would not let that happen this week. Pray that you would grab a hold of our hearts and prompt us to move forward in these areas and in how you see fit for us to do. Lord Jesus, as we close this time this morning, we want to be sure that we are not wasting our life, but that we're willing to work with our hands, we're willing to serve the believers, we're willing to reach out to others, that we would, as this song sings, we would build our life around you. That would be the most important thing to us. You are holy, you are worthy, you are so good. Be our firm foundation. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.